Thanks for popping in to Diving into Deep Waters with your host, that's me, Erin Rowling, and I'm honored to dive in with you today. The water might be a little shocking at first, but hopefully you will feel refreshed and strengthened in your faith. Welcome, everyone. I just want to say one thing, like it being summertime. Am I the only one who craves ice cream? Like, before I was going to re-record this podcast, I just saw that the gas station at the end of our street has like this new dessert ice creamy looking cheesecake thing. And I don't know if it's the heat or what it is, but I just want ice cream. Like every day I'm like, I want ice cream. I don't have it every day, but I want it every day. I just wonder if I'm just in a boat by myself or if you can relate to this fact. And then my kids. Okay, so my kids ask for ice cream like every day. Mom, can we get ice cream? Like, and if they get ice cream, it's hard to buy your kid ice cream and not have ice cream. I just wish ice cream was really good for you. I know you can like home make it, but that is just not happening, people. Anyways, I just wondered, totally not, this has nothing to do with anything. Not life-giving, not exciting. No, actually ice cream is exciting, people, unless you're lactose-free. But actually lactose-free ice cream is pretty good. I know you didn't come to listen to a podcast on ice cream, but I just had to get that off my chest because I keep seeing these good pictures of ice cream and I want ice cream. No, I'm not pregnant, people. Nobody be thinking that. Those days are done. Anyway, so the topic for today, you've already seen it. Dear younger me, I've been with my running. I've told you I have playlists that I listen to. And one of the songs on there, I'd never heard it before, but it's by Mercy Me. And it's called Dear Younger Me. And it kind of started this conversation in my head and thought about like, what would I tell my younger self if I could tell myself all the things that I've learned along the way of life? And so that's kind of where the thought for this podcast came out of. And then for Liz's open house, I was getting all the pictures ready, which that's a huge, I think that's the hardest part of an open house is getting pictures ready, especially when, so when Joseph was born, that's when digital hit. Actually, that's what I asked for my like labor gift or push gift or whatever it is when you have a baby, was a digital camera because I really wanted one. So my husband got me one and so basically nothing is printed. That's the problem with digital, right? We don't print pictures unless you're my friend Carmen, who I think she prints her pictures every month. She's amazing. I am not like that at all. So I have years of pictures that are not printed. So it was a challenge for open house. So anyways, I was going through all these pictures and kind of when I was looking at each picture, I could picture myself like at each picture I would look at of myself when I was younger and kind of remember what I felt and I thought at the time. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do a podcast as if it was a letter to my younger self. Like all the things that I would want to tell myself when I was younger. Now, if you're older than me and you're listening to this, you're probably like, you're still young. I know, but to my younger self. So it's like I would have written a letter to myself. Dear younger me, when I see a picture of the knobby kneed girl, the little toehead with her crooked ponytail and her yellow outfit, man, I love that outfit so much because it was my favorite color. Yellow was my favorite color. And those tube socks with the pin in my shirt. I don't know, I was obsessed with wearing pins. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. I can see the uncertainty in that little girl's eyes. And if I could tell that little girl, I would tell her, honey, you are oh so loved, so cherished, that the little desires of your heart are not unnoticed, that your longings will be fulfilled in ways that you can never imagine, and that every tear you cry, God will hold in a bottle. That's scriptural. And he sees each one that falls from your face. And you never have to worry about him being unaware of every tear you cry. To my preteen self, with the whole face bangs, such a bad idea. I don't know why I got a haircut like that. Basically, it was a mullet, people. Like, literally a mullet. Like, what was my mom thinking? I was not old enough to take care of a hairstyle like that. But holding her pound puppies in each hand, standing with her one and only cousin, I never understood how people had tons of cousins, because I had one. His name was Eric. That was it. They lived in Florida. Like, I had one cousin. I see your awkward self, and I just want to reassure you that this will not last forever, that you will grow into your body that is in that in-between stage. It does change, and you do get to a better phase, and get used to those training bras, because guess what? You're going to have them for life. Can you feel me, people? I would tell her to stay close to her cousin, because one day he will pass away from cancer and there will be some regret for not staying more in touch. To the girl in junior high who likes the cutest boy in school, who doesn't see her because she isn't from the same background as him, and that day that you tell him how much you like him, like you got up the nerve to go talk to him and tell him exactly how you feel, and he looks at you and says, well, I would like you if you were from a better family. And then he walks away, and then you find out he likes another girl, because guess what? Her family is just like his family. I would tell her, honey, God's got one amazing guy waiting for you. He'll love you to death and will love you for you. You will be his first pick. Nothing about you will deter his adoration for you. So shrug off the comments of Nathan Kimball. Yes, I remember his name. Don't we all remember the first guy that we really liked? Actually, that would have been Aaron, but that's another story. Because Paul Rowling will be your knight in shining armor. And your prince will come and you won't be disappointed. To the girl who wants to sing more than anything, music is wrapped up in her little heart. From singing at the top of her lungs on her rocking horse, her made-up songs. I wish my mom had video of that, because I really would like to have seen like what kind of songs I made up. To riding her bike to the library, which was several miles away, unbeknownst to her mom. I don't know if my mom ever knew I did that. If my mom's listening, she's going to find out now. To get records for The Sound of Music, Music Man, Jungle Book, so she could pretend that she was all the characters in the living room when she was home by herself. Trying out for Oliver, the school play, but didn't get the part because she was homeschooled. Ugh. So irritated. To be crushed when she tried out for solos at church. She didn't get any of the ones she tried out for. Then finding out that people chuckled at the very thought that she would even want a solo. So she took all those moments and she found a piano in a classroom in Africa and began spending hours singing to Jesus. Her love and passion for worship were birthed out of rejection. I would tell her that God promotes, not man. That one day she will lead many people into God's presence, and that he would anoint her, and what she had to offer would be enough. I would tell her that the time she ran out of church because she messed up on the piano, I remember that day so well. It was a Steve Green piece. I'd practiced for hours and hours and hours. If anybody's taken piano lessons, you know that you practice for a gazillion hours before you play something in church. And playing in church was a big deal. And I completely messed it up. Like, I didn't even finish the peace, people. Like, I ran out of the church. I was so humiliated and, like, crying. I would tell her, those moments build character. And it wasn't for others for a show, but to play and lead with her love for Jesus. And that was all that she needed. To the young woman, I want to tell her, be yourself. I see a young woman afraid of making mistakes, doing everything within herself to be perfect. I want to tell her that the only thing that only leaves you feeling trapped within yourself, it's not living as you were created to live. I would say, be free. Have fun. Be adventurous. It's okay to get in the grocery cart at the grocery store and ride around. Do it. Who cares? It's okay not to organize your nail polish. No one will judge you. Somehow I thought people would judge me for my nail polish. I don't know why. Or organizing my socks. I mean, some of it I like to do, but some of it was because I was afraid someone would open a drawer. Like, who's going to open your sock drawer, people? Apparently, I thought that they would. Ugh. You don't have to curl your hair every day with two sets of rollers. Yes, I have a lot of hair, people. And I literally would use two sets of rollers to roll this hair. Not every hair has to be in place. Because one day, a messy bun will be your very best friend. To the body before kids. When I was writing this out, I was thinking to myself, like, oh, I need to do this. This is good to think about what I would tell myself, because I would say, love it. Love it. Stop picking it apart. Your boobs are in the right place and your butt is high and tight. And the little roll on your tummy, enjoy it, because there's many, much more rolls that are going to come. And guess what comes with the rolls? Like some zebra pattern sometimes on your stomach. So love it. Love it for what it looks like now. I would tell myself to take care of it. Don't abuse it with your words. Okay, I know that's hitting a hot button right now with you guys. Don't abuse it with your words. Embrace it. Cherish it. That looks don't define you as a person. Be more concerned with who you are inside. For beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. To the body birthing children, I would say, give it a round of applause. Stop criticizing and being proud of what it has done for you. Be gracious to yourself in your response to the image looking back at you in the mirror. Did you hear that? Be gracious to yourself in your response to the image looking back at yourself in the mirror. Maybe we need to write this on our mirror. Be gracious. Be gracious to yourself. Throw the scale away. It's not your friend. It has never been your friend. It never will be your friend. Throw it away. It's like a bad friendship. Get rid of it. It's only hurting you and damaging your thought process and your self-esteem. Nourish it and don't deprive it. Focus on you being strong instead of being a specific size. Don't compare to your friends, because chances are they're probably comparing to you, and they're not doing themselves a service, and neither are you. It's not helping anybody. Praise it for being able to keep up with what you put it through. Sleepless nights, and your body still functions for you somehow, some way, with like endless nights of no sleep. Your body somehow still does the stuff it needs for you so you can take care of your children. Nothing is more attractive than a confident woman. To the young mama with kids who feels a little overwhelmed. And survival mode is the mode you're in most of the time. I don't think I was ever out of survival mode when I was a mom with little kids. Always wishing to be in the next phase because the current one had struggles. Newsflash, each stage will have struggles. Embrace it. Find the bright spots. Don't compare what motherhood looks like for you to others. You are not Michelle Duggar, who doesn't even raise her voice. I tried that one time. I think I read an article about being a mom who doesn't yell. And I don't think like I'm a yeller, but obviously there's some intense moments with my kids. And so it was kind of like try to go a whole day without ever raising your voice. And I was like, okay, I can do this. If Michelle Duggar can do this, if you don't know who Michelle Duggar is, she's a mom of like a gazillion kids. And she always talks like this. Now I want you to go put your laundry into your drawers. And then after that, you know, you need to come downstairs. Do you think you're making a good choice right now? And I was just like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? So I tried it for a day. Let's just say I was a worse mom because I tried to be a mom that I wasn't. I'm not saying like yell at your kids all the time. I'm just saying like I needed to raise my voice a little bit because what was happening with me not just being myself was worse than me trying to be a nice mom. Anyways, you don't have to be like that kind of mom to be a good mom. Being a good mom is simply being there and caring for your child and having a balance of love and discipline and being present. Don't be annoyed when they need you. That I remember a friend telling me a story about another friend that her son was just like being super, super needy and it was just super annoying. And finally, she just said she just like picked him up and held him. And that's like all the kid needed. Like she was present. And enjoy those moments because they won't snuggle forever. Like when I see pictures of mamas snuggling with their little ones, I'm just like, oh, it doesn't last. I mean, so my 20-year-old will still come snuggle with me. It's a little different snuggling with a 20-year-old, a 1-year-old or a newborn. But I love it that she comes and sits in my lap. So I absolutely love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, enjoy family dinners and the mess of spilled milk. I know like it's frustrating like when your kids are messy. My kids were very messy in their high chairs. Like it was like having to douse that high chair because I let them feed themselves. So they were super messy. But take it in. Enjoy it because guess what? One day your kids will not be all at the table. And let me tell you, the first holiday that you have or the first occasion where all of you should be sitting at the table and you're missing a kid, your mama's heart is just like, it's hard. I'm just gonna be honest. It's even like with my daughter getting married and sharing holidays, it's hard. It just is. You want all of them, like you take it for granted. I was just telling Ashley this, who was on podcast last week when I was leaving her house. I was just saying, just enjoy them all being at the table because it's not going to last forever. They leave. Take unproductive out of your vocabulary. Focus on the fact that you have kept them alive and fed. I was going to say bathed, but I was not the best at keeping my kids bathed. I was like, hey, you went swimming. Your bathe. Don't judge me, people. This is a judge-free zone. Don't judge my motherhood. Take in the fact that your kids want to snuggle and watch Dora for 5 hours. Oh my gosh, I could repeat Dora like nobody's business. Listen, it's good bonding time, and you learn some Spanish, so bonus!
Listen, that is just like a nutshell of what I probably would write to myself or could say to myself. The younger self in me, that's just like probably the tip of the iceberg of what I could say. And I'm sure as I was saying things, you probably were thinking of things that you would say to yourself. And that was just like the beginnings of a letter to myself. But it also kind of made me think about like, what would I say to myself now? Like if I was older, looking back at the stage I'm at right now, and what would I say to myself? And I think one of the things that I would say to myself now is slow your roll, like slow down. That filling your schedule to the max doesn't make you more productive. I don't know about you, but I think that a lot of times, like the more I have in my day, you know, we talked about rest. We had a podcast on rest. You know, the more that's where our, you know, badge of productiveness comes from, is how much we've gotten done. And honestly, sometimes when I fill my schedule too much, I talked about like my body breaks down and it tells me like, done, we're finished. But also if that doesn't happen, let's just say I get tired and cranky. So that doesn't help anybody out at all. So like slow down. Like I would need to tell myself that. Slow it down, Erin. Stop and smell the roses. Like when an opportunity presents itself, take it. When everyone is picking up a tennis racket to go across the street, sometimes I have an internal struggle with that. Like, oh, I want to go play tennis, but oh, I need to do stuff at home. And it's like, you know what? Just pick up the tennis racket and go play tennis with your family. It's bonding time. It's an opportunity to spend time together, and it's going to be awesome. Like when my family's watching a movie, I've had an internal struggle. Like, moms, do you feel me? Like where you're like, oh, I should be doing laundry. I should be doing this. I remember there was a family that we knew, and sometimes we'd watch movies with them. It's when we lived in Africa, and the mom would never sit and watch a movie. She would always be doing stuff. And so like the whole group of us would be sitting there and laughing and like having a good time, and she was never, ever a part of it. And I couldn't understand it. Like, what is the big deal? Just sit down and watch the movie. Well, I kind of got it a little bit more when I became a mom. Like, okay, it is hard sometimes to put things on the back burner and like slow my roll down and just be present with my family. But listen, all those other things will always be there. I mean, I kind of wish like laundry wouldn't be there if I didn't do it. So stop, drop what you're doing, and enjoy. I would probably say to myself, laugh more. I'm married to a comedian. Therefore, that has produced comedian children. And I would, sometimes I find myself being serious or like not as jovial as they are. But really, let's face it, laughter does, it's medicine for our soul. It's medicine for our heart. It's good for us. A merry heart is good like a medicine. Like, laugh more. Don't take yourself so seriously. Just, okay. So when we discipline our kids, I am more, if you were to ask our kids, they'd probably say I was, it depends on the hot button, because Paul definitely has his hot buttons. Like ungratefulness is like, do not be ungrateful, or like a Paul rolling you do not know comes out. Like I remember the first time like our kids were becoming teenagers, I might have shared this, where he just, I was like, who are you? So it depends on the issue, but most of the time I'm more strict or, you know, a little bit harder. But then, like, I'll say something and, like, I'll look to him like, okay, it's your turn to be serious with them. And, like, he'll make a joke. And I'm like, it used to really bother me. But I found it brought, like, obviously we would discipline them, but then it would just, like, instantly lighten the mood. It wouldn't, we would all walk away feeling lighter because we just dealt with something serious or something we needed to take care of with them. And then that spark of laughter, that spark of joy would just like dissipate any hard feelings or anything we were going through. And I want to do more of that, like just to have more laughter, to have more just times where just stop taking myself so seriously or situations so seriously. I think I would tell myself, stop being a control freak. You type A personalities are feeling me right now. Because guess what? In 20 years, you won't even remember what you had to be in control of, right? Like, let go. Sing the song. Let it go. Because it steals our joy to have control. And guess what? Other people are capable. You are not the only person capable. I am preaching to myself right now because I'm like struggling with this thought of like one hand for my daughter's wedding. Like, I'm super thankful she has friends that are like going to put things together in between the service, like the service and the reception. But there's like a side of me that's like, well, I need to go check it. Like after they set up the tables, I need to go check it because I notice every little flower petal and every little, you know, like when we set up for like appreciation dinners at our church, whatever, I'm like, okay, so the fork goes here, the knife goes here, the spoon goes here, the nice fork like goes out this way, the napkin goes directly here. Like, people probably don't like to set up with me because I just notice those things. But something I probably would need to tell myself is, let go. It's okay, Erin. People will do a great job and it's not all on your shoulders, and share the burden so that it's not a burden, right? Some of you are like, I don't like that. I still want to be a control freak. I'm not saying I've accomplished this or I've arrived at not being a control freak. I'm just saying it's something that I would probably write to myself like, girl, you are way too controlling. Girl, you needed to laugh some more. Girl, you needed to slow down and just take in the moment. Listen, I'm sure there's a lot more things that I could say, but this last one is certainly not the least, and it's probably the most important of all of them. And I would say to my younger self, I would say it to myself now, and I would say it to my older self, run after Jesus with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Hide his word deep in your very being. You will never regret your time with him. Write his word on your heart and let his word be the light in the darkness. Draw close to him daily and he will always draw near to him. He is worth serving and loving. That's probably the thing that I need to hear now. I wish I would have grabbed more onto that when I was younger, but I don't want to look in 20 years from now, if we live that long, the way this world is going, and say, you never learned that fully. I want to grasp that. I want to like hold on to that. Like, okay, just go, like, of all things that you pursue, of all things that you hide in your heart, let it be him. Let it be all of him. Like, just grab hold of him and never let go. Because he is worth it. He is worth serving and he is worth loving every single day of your life. The thing is, if we never stop and reflect, we can never appreciate what we have learned along the way. Because let's face it, life is a process and it's a journey. And the process that we've gone through and the journey we've gone through when we were younger have made us who we are today, right? So one of the lines in this song says, would I tell my younger self to change anything? Because really, we are who we are because of the things we've gone through. But in the same breath, I would say there are things I wish I would have learned that would have made the process and journey a little easier. And maybe if I wouldn't have been so bullheaded and stubborn to learn them, it really would have benefited me. So I can take that knowledge, and as I head into the future self, to say, okay, look at the past. What did you learn from that? And take it into who you are now and take it into the process and the journey that you have before you, because it's always going to be a process and it's always going to be a journey. Maybe we can learn some things from the past and apply them to the future. Again, there's so much more I could say, but I want to leave you with this idea and reflect on your younger self so that you can maybe learn, like, what got you to where you are today? What could you have learned? And take those things and apply them to your future self. Dear future self. So thanks for joining me today. I hope that in some way, me looking back on my old self will encourage you or maybe make you think about things that you would like to just glean from your past so that we can walk into an amazing future. Love ya.